At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I have found probably one of the best books I think I've ever found from an Elder Scrolls game. Lotus does not have any idea what this is. He has not read it yet, and I'm so excited to do the episode today. Welcome back to the show. I'm Tom, or Robots. Lotus, welcome back.
Are you excited? This one's going to be a little weird because, again, usually we collaborate to set stuff up prior to.
But this one's just a secret.
We didn't. You found this and told me don't look into this and just posted the link. And we're just like, this is what we're going to talk about. Don't look at this one.
Right.
I don't think even you know about this. And just from the little we've talked about, you are correct. I have no idea what is happening.
Yeah, I've only told you the title. And
correct.
This is a book that, just like the other series of books that we've been doing, we've been going through the books from Daggerfall and pulling out very specific books that show up first in Daggerfall, or in this case, only in Daggerfall. This book does not show up in Morrowind. It's not in Oblivion. It's not in ESO. It's not in Skyrim. It is only in Daggerfall. And when I saw this and I clicked in it and I started reading it, I was like, how have I never seen this before? Well, it's only in Daggerfall, but it'll make sense as we go through this. But Lotus, this is what we're doing. I'm going to read this, and every so often I'm going to pause and you're going to predict what's going to happen next in the story. And then we'll see what actually happens in the story and how weird and wacky this is and how much it stands apart from any other book you've ever seen in the series at all.
Right. Because I was even saying, like, oh, I think maybe just based on the title, which we'll get into a second, I was like, well, I think I can at least figure out the culture. And just even based on that, I was like, I don't even know if that's right now talking about this.
Yes. Okay. So we need to get right into this because this is super fun. The title of the book is Ius, comma, Animal God. Now, you and I have been doing this show for years. We've covered pretty much everything that could be considered a god across the series in some way or another.
One of the first shows I was on, you had me do a topic when I think I was just a guest at that point, and I was like, let's discuss Ebonarm, and you were even like, that is really abstract to start.
Ebonarm is so, like, one of those things that gets a lot of references, but it rarely comes up in like current games.
Right And it's like, I don't know who Ius is, or Ius. I have no idea.
Ius?
I don't know what this is.
So, well, he's an animal god. We know that
sure
much
is an animal
from the
god.
title.
And I assume my assumption here got something to do with the wood elves?
Well, we'll just have to see. This was written by, externally written by Ted Peterson, who writes a lot of books for the series.
Sure does.
You know, one of the key creatives behind a lot of this stuff. And we've covered other things that Ted Peterson has written before, so that's not really a surprise. The author, the in-game author's name is Bulger Soma. Bulgursoma. Any idea who that is or the culture they come from?
I am doubling down on they are from Balinwood with the wood elves, because I literally don't know what to do with that name.
I don't know either. Right. So this name doesn't, nothing else comes from this name. In fact, I'm looking right now on the UESP page, and if I click the name, this is the only book that is attributed to this individual. So, singular individual, no context.
This is definitely up there in like esoteric stuff that we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. This is how it starts. The statues one sees throughout Valenwood.
I'm not totally off base, I guess.
And parts of Hammerfell and elsewhere that seem to be of a misshapen humanoid carrying a rod are of Eos, the god of animals. Do you remember having seen a misshapen humanoid character carrying a rod? You've played through significant portions of Daggerfall at this point.
I'm right toward the end of Daggerfall, yeah. And he, this, as we just said, is not in any of the other games. No.
No.
I don't believe so.
No. Well,
in my travels, this does not ring a bell.
Well, there is a statue of a almost looks like a wolf-eared kind of character holding up above its head a long golden rod that is on fire on two sides. This statue does show up throughout Daggerfall, so this is a real thing. That's the statue of Eos, which doesn't show up in any other games, only in Daggerfall. Okay, so do you want to make any predictions about where this is going?
Good Lord, that's not a lot to go on. Eos, if he's an animal god, I'm guessing that he's maybe we got like a nature cult that prays to him or something like that. Does it somehow relate to this?
This becomes a story about a nature cult. Okay,
yeah, let's find out. That like his cult of followers and some type of nature based thing. Maybe maybe before the weird was like actually constructed or wardens or anything like that.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
That's a solid guess. Okay. Well, here, the second paragraph, the rod he carries and its origin in the tale of the ox and the evil farmer has its origin in the tale of the ox and the evil farmer. It seems that one day an evil farmer decided to kill all the animals and have a big party.
What?
The phrasing of
because of killing the animals, or he's killing the animals for a party.
As the story unfolds, animal after animal is killed and prepared for a big meal. Lastly, the farmer comes to the ox and prepares to slit its throat. The ox, not wishing to be anybody's dinner, prayed very vocally to Eos. This came out as a loud moo. Of course, this is legitimately what the thing says. It sounds like a children's story or like fairy tale, but it's still violent,
like goofy, but like really
like a Brothers Grimm sort of thing.
Thank you. I was going to say, what are the dark fairy tales? Yes, Brothers Grimm is exactly what I was thinking of, or a lot of fairy tales or fables that have been very Disneyfied over the years. When you actually look at how they were originally set up, it's like, oh my God, like Pinocchio and stuff like that. Like they're really screwed up originally.
Yeah. When my daughter was younger, I used to go visit her like in the middle of the week. And then we would go out and have dinner. And then we'd go to the library and I'd help her with her homework and those kinds of things. And the nights when she didn't need as much help, I'd go find a book to read. And one time I did open up, I found this gigantic tome of all of the Grimm's fairy tales. And I would just pick random ones and read them. They're so strange. Go look those up someday. They're very, very weird. But this feels a lot like that, right?
Very much so.
This animal, like the ox, it has its own will. The farmer is going to kill it, which is a thing a farmer would do. But this farmer is evil. It's going to slit his throat.
This farmer is evil for some reason because he's doing what other farmers do, but because this is a sentient ox, I guess.
I guess so. Okay. So any other? Okay. Did this go in the direction you expected?
No. This is not about a cult. Animals at all. This is apparently a sentient oxes.
Yeah. All right. So do you want to make a new prediction about where this goes? There's at least seven paragraphs left.
You know what? Let's just go with Eos is, I'm assuming, going to come to the ox's defense and smite the evil farmer. Let's go with that because if he's an animal god, he's obviously standing for the animals, one would think.
Hey, that's another good guess. Okay, let's see where this goes. At the very instant, Eos appeared carrying a rather large set of balance weights. Without explanation, Eos ate the farmer and vanished.
All right.
It just eats him. Okay, it goes on. Ever since that day, Eos the extremely agitated, it's capitalized like it's a title, has always been portrayed as carrying a large set of scales with him. The local Eos worshippers have no idea why and do not seem to care. Although this story has been called fanciful at best, I personally know a raccoon who has actually talked to the ox, capital the T, capital O. That is, before the ox became filler for the local inn's larder.
What?
Right? Right?
What is this story?
Right? So, I mean, you were right. Eos does show up and helps the ox out by eating the farmer.
I also like how there's just no, like, no justification. Like, not like, oh, well, maybe there's a reason. Nope, just immediately eats him. No questions asked. Just like, nope, I'm consuming you. You're all done.
Yeah. And
the ox was lying.
And her scene in chat says, so what were the weights for?
Right. I was going to say, and didn't he have a crooked staff to start with? Now we're on to weights? What? He changed his relic really quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next paragraph. Very, very short. It's just like two sentences. I do not have any information one way or the other about the validity of this second myth. It is, however, quite traditional. So we're being implored, I guess, here to believe in the idea that the raccoon talked to the ox before ox became filler.
Sentient animals aren't a part of this world, really, without some type of very bizarre scenario. I mean, you can consider like Elfique, like that,
yeah,
that fur stock a little bit, but like cows don't just talk. You don't high five dogs, like, unless it's like somebody has been turned into a dog, and like you have Barbas. Like, okay, Barbas is a Daedric prince part,
right?
Who,
right,
is taking on the form of a dog, not just, oh, by the way, I adopted a golden retriever and he tells me bedtime stories. Like, that's not that's not the level of fantasy this series generally goes with.
Right.
And
so it does feel like fantasy. And yet the author of this is like, no, this is legit. This is real.
This is legit because the raccoon told me so.
Right.
Like,
yes. Yes.
Okey-dokey.
All right. So
sure.
It gets even more interesting. Here we go. It seems that many, many years ago, before the reign of Uriel Septim the Seventh, before the reign of Sepphoris Septim the Second, yes, even before the age of Pelagius Septim III, long may his name be praised, there lived, get this, a wombat who was the pet of Lady Grelina, daughter of Lord Prufrock of Rock Creek. Lady Grelina loved her wombat so, and it loved her too with all the passionate intensity a marsupial can muster. How do you feel about our little history lesson part of this?
You're not going to believe this, but now I actually have context for this.
Do you?
Because I remember looking something up once and I stumbled across, does the Elder Scroll, like, weird animals in the Elder Scroll?
Uh-huh.
And I remember finding out there was a wombat mentioned.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I at least have that part of context, and I remember there being a really weird wombat story. I did not know it had anything to do with this.
Yes, yes.
But I've got context of the really weird wombat story.
Yeah, so if you look up some of these characters, Lord Prufrock of Rock Creek is not mentioned anywhere else. We have no idea who that is. Lady Grelina does show up due to the story and this connection to this wombat thing. And of course, Uriel Septim the Seventh and Sepphoris Septim the Second, Pelagius Septim the Third.
Deal with more frequently in the series.
Right. They are historical characters that show up in other places. Now we have a marsupial. This is definitely going directions that you probably did not expect, right? So where do you think it goes from here?
I mean, at this point, I'm just curious what the wombat has to say about the scenario.
Well, let's see if we find out. Unfortunately, it was a time to grow or time of great sorrow in Rock Creek. A pestilence had come through the town. Before I get any further, have you been to Rock Creek in Daggerfall? Do you remember?
I don't remember specifically needing to go to Rock Creek for anything.
Because there's lots of towns, and there's some that are the more recognizable names because they show up in other places, and the others are just these little tiny.
Even to this date, with games like No Man's Sky, and discussions of like, oh, well, what's the biggest game? There's Eve or whatever it is. And like I said, No Man's Sky and Starfield and stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, I still think by like square in-game footage, it's still like Daggerfall's still in like the top five.
Yeah, it's really, so, really like, big. Yeah.
There's so many towns. I can't imagine that I've seen even 1/100th of them.
Yes.
So I don't specifically, I don't think they send you to Rock Creek for any particular reason for any of the quests I've done so far yet.
Yes. I don't think it's a like a key location by any means, but it is a location that was we'll play into the reasoning for this story as we get there. But here, this paragraph continues. A pestilence had come through the town, destroying all their cash crops, which consisted of raspberries and a few scraggly odd weeds that caused Argonian women to look very attractive to those who partook. Okay, so we're just going to leave that there. Then a plague. Okay. Then a plague had come, inflicting nearly every cobbler with chronic hiccups. Or hiccoughs, H-I-C-C-O-U-G-H-S, hiccoughs.
That sounds much more obnoxious than a hiccup.
Yes, it does. It does.
That sounds like extremely, hiccups are very annoying. I don't know if that's just a me thing, but
or if this is just another word for hiccup, it's just hiccough, like maybe.
Yeah. Oh, because I'm thinking like instead of hiccup, you're like every time you cough after it, that sounds beyond infuriating if that's the case.
Right. So a plague comes to town, inflicting nearly every cobbler. I believe cobblers are people who make shoes or fix shoes.
They're shoe people, shoe makers and shoe repairers, I believe.
Right. So specifically shoe makers with chronic hiccoughs. Finally, a witch had cursed the townspeople, so the only words anyone could utter were, precisely. All the businesses, stores, and guilds fled from the town faster than an extremely fast thing. Okay, so...
That's some D-grade writing.
This feels like the kinds of ridiculous garbage kind of things that my friends and I would write and make up in, like, school in order to make each other laugh when we took, like, a creative writing class or something.
Correct. You're doing it to be goofy at that point.
Yeah, this feels like... It's written in that same kind of style. Like, it's just one thing to the next, and then it's just silly, right? Again,
tells a story, and then this.
Right. So how could you possibly have predicted this story? Like, impossible. Do you want to make any more predictions?
It's going for levels of absurdity where it's like each thing needs to be more incongruous. To the last, where it's just like, okay, well, you won't see this coming. You won't see this coming. And it's just increasingly more bizarre for the sake of being bizarre. So, no,
but there is a point to this whole thing, which is part of what makes this even more interesting, is that it is not just nonsense. It is nonsensical, but it's not just nonsense. There is a point.
Right. There is. So those are technically different things.
Yes. So if we were to see another character reemerge that has been mentioned so far, who do you think is going to show back up?
So I'm
going to
assume Enos is coming back.
That is the topic of the book. So yeah.
I would certainly hope that the god of things.
The animal god
is coming back and he's going to. God, you know what? He's going to eat those witches for cursing this wombat's beloved town.
All right.
Wombat's owner's beloved
town. If anybody else were to show back up, because that's the easy choice. Is there anybody else who's going to show back up?
The farmer's back to enact revenge.
Oh, the farmer gets like eaten, but then barfed back out. Or the ghost
now
of the farmer.
A vengeful spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Let's go with that.
All right. So
third, I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling you, it gets weird. Third to last paragraph. Lady Grilina. Saw her father despairing the loss the town was suffering. So she brought her wombat in and told him, quote, "Father, my wombat can save us all, for it is sacred to the god Eos, god of animals. The only reason I didn't tell you earlier is because I am an early adolescent going through that period when I don't like to communicate. But please, ask a wish of my wombat and Eos will fulfill it, for my wombat loves me." We usually try not to have these like pregnant pauses on the show, but I feel like every single time.
The only answer to that is a pregnant pause.
Right. It's the only thing you can naturally do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm an angsty teenage girl is the writing to this.
Right. That's she specifically says it in the quote, which is like, I'm just an angsty kid who just doesn't want to have to talk to people. But here, like, this will help. So maybe use it.
What is happening? Mm-hmm.
Hircine in chat says the farmer is Malekith. Maybe. Anybody else in chat who has any thoughts or suggestions or ideas?
Where the hell is this going?
Yeah. All right. Down to the last two paragraphs. Here we go. The king thought this was fairly flaky, but he had nothing to lose. So he uttered a modest wish to the wombat. Quote, "All I want is for one business to come to Rock Creek that will never leave, no matter the calamity." That's a fair wish. Like, there's a lot of terrible things going on. The businesses keep leaving the town. It's causing problems, economic problems. And he's like, just one business that'll stay here. Feels pretty reasonable.
Couldn't he just wish for the plague to go away?
That also would be a better thing to wish for. Sure. But right. That's not as interesting for the way the stories go.
All right, fair enough.
I wish for no plagues ever to hit my little town ever again.
Nope, I want one place that'll just live through all these plagues.
Right?
Okay.
This is such a good story. It's so weird and unique compared to everything else. I mean, this is not even Kirkbrideian. It's just
no, certainly
silly.
Not. This is ridiculous.
All right, final paragraph. I probably should have mentioned before that the king had always been cruel to the wombat. Get this. He used to lick it and try to make it stick to walls. What else? This feels like, this even more feels like something that like my friends and I would have made up in school. Like this is from the mind of a 14-year-old, right?
That's right.
So the wombat had Eos create an equipment store in front of the palace gate that would never go away. The royal family ended up going mad and eating one another, and ironically, the wombat was one of the first to go. But that is why there is, to this day, an equipment store blocking the palace gate in Rock Creek. Rock Creek, so I'm mispronouncing that. If you don't believe me, go there and see. That the whole story was to simply explain the location of a store that is in front of the city gate in a very specific town in the game.
Okay.
You seem to sound very disappointed.
I have no idea what is going on. I don't know how to respond to this.
Right. So what's so crazy about this is that this story was written. It shows up in the game. The models were created of Eos, the animal god, who shows up in many different locations across Daggerfall. All of this stuff was put into the game because of one reason. There's a note here. And this is one of the things that the Imperial Library does well is they note certain stories and give you some background,
like,
right?
Literally just like documented. Just anything, which is super useful for forums and stuff too, because it's all of that. Whereas that's not really what the UESP does, type of thing. So it's why it's such an other great resource to go along with the UESP.
Right. So there's a librarian note here that says, "Here's what Ted Peterson has to say about the text." So we get some insight directly from the author about what this is and why it was written. "I actually wrote it for the amusement of the patch testers for Arena, one of whom noticed that in the town of Rock Creek, there was a shop placed directly in front of the town entrance. You could still get in and out of the town since you didn't have to be right at the door to click on it, but they wanted to know how it came to be there. The right answer is that the towns were randomly generated, and this one just came up screwy. But I felt a legend needed to be created just for that. There are goofy little statues in the arena of a guy with scales, so I elected him to be the fella behind the myth. I don't know why we decided to put it in the game, to be honest, except that I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought you couldn't have too many books in the game, and here was a story already written. You can't go to Rock Creek from the environs of Daggerfall, which made the book not only peculiar, but totally worthless. So even if you had said, yes, I've been to Rock Creek, you wouldn't have seen this store in the front of the gates because the city was changed for Daggerfall because it was kind of a glitch in the way they made the same exact city in Arena because it was randomly generated and it just
and
happened
it
to get
procedurally make it in the same place for
right.
Daggerfall the way it did in Arena. Wow.
Right, right. Because they probably got better at the procedural generation, but in the time of Arena, it somehow put a store outside the front gates that kind of blocked the gates mostly, but you could still get in. So they didn't patch it. They didn't fix it. And the development story of Arena is crazy. I watched like a 3-hour video on it recently about all the things that they had to do and how it was late and how they rushed to get through it and how they had two testers in the studio at the time.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Insane. But yet somehow they noticed this glitch that they just weren't able to patch it out. And so this story was written about this. How crazy is this?
That is... So, this has definitely got to be one of the weirdest lore episodes we've had for sure. I tangentially got the region of origin.
You got that part, right? Yeah. You got that part. But yeah, Eos, the animal god, doesn't show up. The story was included in Daggerfall because it was already written, but Eos, the animal god, is not talked about anywhere else. Those little statues show up places because they were just these little figures that they added to the game, but
sure. Wow, that is a lot to unpack. Well, I hope everybody else is as interested or entertained by that as I am, because I'm not gonna lie, I had nothing to go on with that, and I don't feel like I'm any closer to, like, if we started over and you re-erased like the majority of my memory about this, like, okay, guess again, 0% chance I would ever get to any of these. Given as many chances as I had, I would never come about to what we got as a result of that.
Yeah, the story just goes like all these different places. It's as if it was created backwards, right? Like Ted wanted to get to the point of why is there a store in front of the gate? And it's as if he wrote it backwards and got to this like connection to an animal god and this like fairy tale about an ox and a wombat and all of that stuff.
Which I guess, to be fair, that's exactly what did happen. It was like, well, I need to give a reason for this to exist, so this is what I'll do. And it's just like, all righty,
yeah.
Like that's fine. I mean, I guess if you're just trying to come up with stuff to have it connect, it's just like, that's one way to do it. But it's just like so bizarre.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah, super weird. And so Eos hasn't shown back up mostly in other games. Like, this book is not included. Eos is not mentioned anywhere else in the lore at all. There is a page, a lore page, on the UESP that talks about Eos, but it mostly recaps the events of the story we just read. Mm-hmm. But there is a little note section at the bottom. And one of the little notes says, early concept art for ESO's Celestial Mage depicts her as Eos. So the concept artists from ESO know about Eos and were using Eos as inspiration for a Celestial Mage character for some reason. But it this is just early concept art, so it didn't make it all the way into the game. So that's kind of interesting. So this isn't a forgotten tidbit of lore. This is something that at least the ESO developers are still aware of, which means that, who knows, Eos the animal god could show back up somewhere. This could be a thing.
It would be kind of funny if he came back at some point.
Yeah. Or we actually get to visit the town and see that there's a store stuck in front of the gates of the town. And I mean, how crazy that would that be in a future game to have that actually play out?
Well, I would kind of like the way that Ebonarm is like in ESO, but just as like a statue.
Right. Yeah. Like just kind of a reference, but not
it would
really
be
a
neat to just
main
have
character.
Like a, what the heck is this thing? And it just be Eos. Like no explanation. Just here's Eos. It's chilling.
Yeah, Eos. Yeah. Also,
buy a wombat.
right. Also, one other little note here. The internal file name of the Ruby Hodge Mota in ESO is a reference to Eos.
Really?
Yes. So the Ruby Hodge Mota is one of those like big dinosaur looking turtles know what I'm talking about? Like they've got the big horn on their head.
They're in a lot of dungeons. They're giant. Yeah, they're giant turtles.
Yeah,
that's the best way to put it.
He's a giant turtle. So it's got like, it's red. It's got like, you know, the shell and like these little fins that come off its neck and it kind of crawls around on all fours. Weird though. Like this, what is it like? At no point in the story, the story is about an ox. There's animals, an ox, a wombat, but there's no turtle looking thing. So I don't know why you would use this as a reference in the file.
I was
going
to say, I don't really understand. I never would piece that together other than it's an animal. Like,
right, right. But yeah.
Why is that a reference? I guess.
The actual file is Eus-Begotten-Hodgmoda, which seems to imply that this would have been a creature that was somehow related to or enchanted by or something like that, the animal god Eus-Begotten, which implies that maybe they were playing around with this idea of working Eus into ESO and having Eus be a character. I mean, who knows? What if you did a dungeon with the animal god and maybe it's not actually a Daedric prince, maybe it's not actually an Aedra or something like that, but it's some sort of powerful being who calls themselves the animal god, and they have these other creatures in the dungeon who were begotten by them, something like that.
And oftentimes you'll even see stuff like, you know, different versions of things, you know, as Daedric princes evolve, for lack of a better word, into other ones where we've got new ones that came about and they were parts of other things. Hyrcine in chat would be one of them.
Right,
not
right.
One of the original creations necessarily.
The evolution of Hyrcine, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or what, I mean, I can think of many different ways that you can incorporate something like Eus the animal god. You know, Ifrey, for example, is another one of those like deity characters who is tangentially related to the Daedric princes and the Aedra, but not really.
But right, it's an Elnafe instead, so it's like a little
right. So is there room for other Elnafe or I don't know, Star Orphans? But Eus is not one of the Star Orphans. We went over all of those. This doesn't sound like one of those. But there is room in the series for these like weird, powerful beings that don't easily fit in any one spot.
Well, and with how little there is to them, they can fill it out without breaking anything else.
Right. Yeah. So what if it's a creature that was known as the animal god who simply became a powerful being for some reason or another, and then did things historically at an earlier time. And so now there are these stories and these myths about this animal god, but maybe was killed in a dungeon in the second era by some adventurers in ESO and no longer exists into later eras or something like that.
Right.
Like you could totally build this into the game if you really wanted to. So it's just a fun thing, just a little fun note. And yeah. I don't know if any of the developers are listening. I'm sure they have on occasion, but if you are looking for inspiration for future updates and cool things to add to ESO that have weird little connections to old games, Eus the animal god is probably a really fun choice.
Well, as we know, they love making those deep cuts to a lot of stuff. So this is prime real estate for them if they want to have a real, real deep cut that they want to fill out some lore that's got very little to it outside this one little book.
Yeah, one little book. It only shows up here, but it definitely could come back. Plus, you could add in like more about the author. Bulger Soma. Weird name. All right.
Sounds like a dessert.
It does. It sounds like a dessert. So there you go. That's our little Daggerfall story for this week. Lotus, any last thoughts on this? I mean,
I was glad you didn't have me read that in advance because I was certainly entertained, but yeah, I didn't have a single shot at that. Like until we got to the wombat part where I was like, oh, I remember some story relating to a wombat. Mm-hmm. But didn't even really have context to that. I just remember, I forget why I knew that existed. Maybe I was just looking up weird Daggerfall stuff one day, but
yeah, maybe.
Either way, I was like, oh yeah, I remember there was something about a wombat. No idea it had anything to do with Eus, the animal god, though.
Eus, the animal god.
Eus. I always had an N.
Eus.
Weenus.
Weenus, the animal god? Anus. Anus, the animal god.
I hate all of this.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear animal God.
Don't like any of this.
All right. Well, there you go. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but hey, that's fine. But we've got some patrons to talk about and a random page to cover, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we've got two new adventurers who have joined the Patreon. Patreon.com/...
I think you mute, Tom.
Oh, now I'm unmuted. We've got two new adventurers who joined us on the Patreon. Welcome to JoeJohn700 and Dwight S. Thank you for signing up. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can get ad-free episodes. You can join us for patron chats every month. You get t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of fun things. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Austin B., Hircine, Kiracy, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 151 of our current patrons, thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Also, you can join us for free if you just want to be plugged in and get little announcements and things that just go up for everybody. You can just sign up for free and not have to pay anything, and you can kind of just stay in the know. So that's something you can do as well. Also, hey, Lotus, we got a another review that came in on Apple Podcasts. Fun. Yeah. So if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts in the US, we'll read it out on a future episode. This one is from, oh, you're going to love this name.
Oh, boy.
Guar Eater.
Aw.
Oh, poor Guars.
Aw. Oh. You just say.
It's kind of like the guy who wanted to kill the ox. This is like the evil farmer. Oh.
Yeah, you know what? All right. Oh, I'll accept that.
Okay. So Guar Eater says, great show. Hey, I love this show. I started playing Elder Scrolls games a while back and wanted to find a podcast about it to listen to at work. It's been great to hear all your thoughts and theories. Listening to the show has also led me to getting more. I had to open up the thing and it moved to getting more Elder Scrolls Online. So far, it's been really fun. Into more Elder Scrolls Online. Keep up the great work, guys. Well, thank you so much, Guar Eater.
So glad you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I wish you would eat less guars.
You're just gonna change people's diets? Is that how this works? All right, so
changing diets one guar at a time.
All right, the last thing, this is the last thing we always do, or at least when I remember, is the random UESP page. And interesting, there's always weird coincidences. I just hit the page, it just showed up. Daggerfall tutorial, an introduction to Privateer's Hold and the game of Daggerfall. This is a quest from Daggerfall that takes you through the tutorial?
It is. That is the first quest in Daggerfall, the thing that stumps most people because it is very unforgiving.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah. The introduction, tutorial lesson 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 11. Quest rumors, all sorts of little details about this, but it's kind of a log of all the steps in the tutorial quest for Daggerfall. So there you go. And Privateer's Hold, which is one of those classic locations as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually surprisingly topical for a random page.
Yeah, I just hit it and this is what showed up. Like, I didn't hit it until we were already, like, what, 2 minutes ago saying, hey, I got to open up a random page. So
right. Well, sometimes they're on brand and it seems like we planned it. Sometimes they're as random as the story we just read to you.
Yeah, so, like, here's let's see what happens if I hit this again. Online, Velatin Crean is a character, a Breton hunter. It can be found inside the Hidden Foundry. So there you go. That's how random it is.
There you go.
There you go.
Equally random.
Well, Lotus, this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad you enjoyed my little surprise story. This is one of the most peculiar ones I think we've come across in a long time.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll probably be covering another weird Daggerfall story, or maybe, who knows, maybe we've hit them all. I don't know, but maybe we'll have to go to Morrowind. I'm sure Morrowind's got some weird stories that show up only in Morrowind or change over time. You know, there's lots of different variations on all of this. But thanks, everybody, for being here. Chat, thanks for being here. Lotus, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
Not really. I hope everybody's enjoying the new Elder Scrolls Online update. If you play Elder Scrolls Online, it just launched for console yesterday. And yeah, we had a fun stream for it. We're going to try to figure out when we record the next episode of Tales to discuss all our thoughts on it. But this weekend is my daughter's first birthday. So we'll see how recording goes around that. It might not be till the start of next week, depending upon scheduling.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. That's great. Little Lotus. Well, that's great. Great. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful birthday party and all the fun stuff going on.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But, yep. No, that's about it for me. It's just, we shall see. Hopefully we'll have an episode for you soon. By the start of the week is the goal.
Yeah, all sorts of fun new stuff in ESO going on, so check that out. And Lotus has some fun stories I'm sure he's going to regale you with in his tales of Tamriel.
I do my best.
There you go. So yeah, they did some fun stuff, he was telling me in the pre-show. So go check that out. Also, the other shows on Robots Radio are wonderful, lots of different creators. My other shows, the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, I've got a new thing cooking that's almost ready to launch very, very soon. Been working hard on it. I will reveal more about that very soon. But also robotsradio.net for the list of other shows and everything else going on. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, if you come across the animal god Eus, then I guess make sure to treat it well and the other animals, or you're going to get a store in your front gate and I'd be called an
just
evil farmer.
Don't forget your scales.
Don't forget your scales. I don't know. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.